Welcome to the West End Church of Christ Midweek Bible Study. My name is Jim Holton, and I'm working with David Lanphier as we do the class of Frequently Asked Questions, and it's been a real pleasure over the course of the last 3 months for us to be able to do this class. And it's quickly drawing to an end here. I guess July the 1st will be our last class, and then the new class will start on July the 5th, and we look forward to having you join us both online and also through the live service that we're going to have. As everybody, I think, knows and hopefully knows, we now are returning our adult Bible classes to the auditorium, and we're looking forward to that for the third quarter. We'll have all the young people in their classes in the back. That is all the way up through high school, and then in the auditorium, we're going to have the class on the resurrection with Stephen Ogden and Matt Finley. So we're looking forward to getting all of that started. We appreciate everybody's diligence for being part of our Bible studies and our worship services. And again, we've certainly had a little bit of a test over the course of the last 3 or 4 months with the coronavirus and everything that we've had to do to change. But we hope and pray that we'll continue to move forward smoothly and be able to get things the way that they need to be. We good back there, Matt? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. So the class tonight is going to be on forgiveness. This is a question that was submitted to us, and so we're going to talk about this tonight and then again on Sunday morning. So I want you to get your Bibles out, and I want you to also join me as we look at some of the scriptures, make some notes, and then think about our own personal situations and how we do and how we've done and how we could do better as it relates to any of these issues. So the question that was asked was, should we forgive someone who has sinned against us in our heart before they repent? Should we forgive someone who has sinned against us in our heart before they repent? So think about that question for just a minute, and let's start class with a prayer, if you will, please. Merciful Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening humbly bowed, and we're so very thankful for all the blessings that you provide us in our lives every day. We know that everything we have is because you've blessed us with it. Everything that we are is, if we are right in your sight, is because we've turned our lives over to you and because of your word and the great blessings that you promise we will have if we're faithful and diligent in our service to you. We pray as we get ready to go into this Bible study tonight, talking about, studying, thinking about forgiveness, that we'll think about it after the class, that we'll consider the scriptures, that we'll think about our individual situations and see how we do and have done and how we can do better when it relates to forgiveness. And think of the example of Jesus Christ and all that he did while he was here on this earth and everything that was left behind through the Holy Spirit and the scriptures for us to understand what we need to do. We pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we'll go for about 30 minutes again tonight, and then we'll pick this up again on Sunday morning. So, first slide. You know, basically the question is, I think, should we forgive somebody that has sinned against us inside of us before that person has actually repented? So, first thing I want to do is I want to look at the definition of forgiveness. And if you just look up the definition of forgiveness, and also you look at the definition of forgiveness as it is in the Bible, then we have these things that it has to say about that. Pardon, absolution, exoneration, remission, or remit a debt, leave something or someone alone or abandon. Forgive also makes me think about the word forget. Forget. Forgive, forget. Forget is to put something out of someone's mind, to cease thinking about or considering that thing. Have you ever heard that old saying that goes, well, I may forgive them, but I'm not going to forget? Yeah. So what kind of attitude is that as a Christian? I might forgive them, but I'm not going to forget. That is not where God wants us to be. And you know, when I think about things like this, I think about my own personal situation. I'm just going to show you a little work situation that I've got going on right now. And this is a project that we're working on for a marina in Kentucky. It will go unnamed right now. But basically what you see on the left there is a picture of part of this mural that we're doing for this wall. And then the picture that you see to the right there is the wall itself. And I don't guess I've got any way to point at anything on the... Do I have any way to point at anything? No. Okay. My pointer's disabled. But anyway, if you look between those poles, you see a few little black spots at the top, and then you see a few little spots at the bottom down there too. And what we do is we take pictures to kind of mock these things up for folks to be able to get an idea what it's going to look like before we actually go in and design this graphic and put it on the wall. Well, we've worked and worked and worked to try and get the project the way the client wants it to look. Many revisions on this mural. That's just one panel of five. It's 50 feet long and 8 feet tall, okay? So here's what happened. We're getting down to the wire. The artwork and everything's been prepared. We're ready to produce it. And we start looking at the original photograph that this project was laid out on. And hey, there's two light fixtures and four electrical plugs on that wall. Okay, well, it's going to make it hard to put the vinyl where the lights are based on where pictures are going to show up, and the electric plugs create some of the same kind of problem. Application of this vinyl that goes on that wall, you know, it's hard if you've got these obstacles to work around. There's also screws in the wall. And so those are some of the things that I got so preoccupied with the design and the board and the length and everything else that I kind of lost sight of those things that needed to be addressed. So I had to call the customer and say, I have overlooked some of these things that we should have been paying some attention to a little bit earlier, and I hope that you'll forgive me. And what did they say? They were like, no, that's okay. We'll get on it. We'll get it figured out. We'll make it happen. It'll be okay. Now, I would like to believe that because during this process, I was the kind of person that I should be in going through revisions that we've gone through and treating them the way I would want to be treated, that when it got to the place where I needed some forgiveness, they were willing to forgive me. Did it create a little bit of a scramble for them? It certainly did, based on the schedule that they wanted to meet when they wanted to get it installed. But at the end of the day, everybody's going to be happier. The client's going to be happier. It's going to be easier for us to install the job. Everything's just going to be smoother. Everybody's life's going to be better because we help them get what they want, and we're patient. And at the end, when there were some things that needed to happen from their perspective for us, they were willing to do the same for us. So, forgiveness. I think a lot of times we do go by that old saying where it is, well, I might forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. And what have we really accomplished when we have that kind of attitude? Is that the attitude that Christ would have us to have? And you know, when I think about forgiveness, and I think of the greatest example of forgiveness, who better than Jesus Christ? The forgiveness of Jesus Christ is really, it's hard for me to understand. It's hard for me to understand. When he made the sacrifices that he made, did what he did for you and me, came to this earth like he did, went through what he endured and suffered, knowing that he would, for us to have forgiveness. And forgiving people as he went throughout his entire journey in his life. Take your Bibles and turn over to Matthew, the 5th chapter, with me for just a minute, if you will. When Christ was beginning his ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, He talks about some of the types of things that should be part of who we are and things that should not be a part of who we are. If you look at Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 7, well, really, you can start up at 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, or those that have a deep sense of humility. Poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Humility. Blessed are those who mourn or recognize sin in our lives. When we think of mourning, we're recognizing the sin that's in our lives, and we want to make sure that that's right, and we'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, or kind, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for understanding what right living is, and we hunger and thirst for it, and we try and make it part of our lives every day. If we do that, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, then we will be filled with righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, those that have compassion, those that are willing to forgive, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, so they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for right living, righteousness, sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the character that we have in our lives, Christ says, is part of who we should be. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Forgiveness is a character trait that we have to work at developing in our lives to let the character of Christ be reflected in who we are. Stay in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 38, as he talks about how we are to act in difficult situations. Verse 38 through 41. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. What kind of attitude are we going to have toward those that are trying to wrong us? Are we going to say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Christ says that's not who we are supposed to be. And if that's who we are letting ourselves become in our lives every day, are we people that are of forgiveness? Look at 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That is absolutely 180 degrees opposite of the human endeavor, of the way we react as human beings if we are not centered on righteousness and right living. Love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you. That's what it says we're supposed to do. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Complete is what perfect means there. And basically what Christ is saying is, do what is the hard thing to do instead of what's the easy thing to do. It's easy to love somebody that loves you. That's the easy way to go. But for someone that is creating a hardship against you, If you don't forgive them, if you don't show them love, then what Christ says right here is we're in trouble. We've created problems for ourselves. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Turn over to Mark now. Again, jot this one down. Mark 11 and 25 through 26. Mark 11, 25, 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you and your trespasses. But, and listen, if you do not forgive, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So basically what he's saying, if you're not willing to forgive, you can't be forgiven. When we think about Christ and the example of Christ, what did he say? When they came to the place in Luke, the 23rd chapter in verses 33 through 35, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, and one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. What did Christ do when the end came for him in his mission on this earth? He says, they don't know what they're doing. Please forgive them. They don't understand. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Like the scripture we were looking at in Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 25 and 26. So here's what I want to do right now. And we're going to continue with this question on Sunday morning. I got a lot more I want to talk about, and I'm not finished tonight yet. But I want you to think about this for just a minute as we're in class. Have you got anybody right now that you've got a problem with, either recently or long term, and you didn't forgive them? Have you got a problem with somebody? You know, sometimes it's family members. I mean, I've seen situations where family members have it out with each other and they won't forgive each other. Blood relatives. And they won't forgive each other. We're Christians. What are we supposed to do? Well, it says in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, and also in our Mark account of 11, 25, and 26, if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What have we got to be forgiven of? Our sins that separate us from God. That can only happen as a result of repentance and obedience to God through the blood of Christ. And when we put on Christ, when we go into that water and we are baptized and we come up the new person that we're supposed to be, that it talks about in Ephesians, Colossians, it talks about in 2 Peter, the first chapter, and the character that we're supposed to have. If we are not that person, if we are not that person willing to forgive others, what does it say in 15? But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. You might say, well, they did me wrong. They treated me wrong. They were terrible to me. They took something from me that belonged to me. They did me a grave injustice. That's not your problem to worry about. That's not your problem to worry about. And why is that the case? Because God's going to take care of that. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 6. Luke 6. And I believe it is 27 through 37. Kind of a long reading, but stay with me, if you will, please. I'll try and get through it without stumbling too much. Christ says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you." Some of that same type of language we heard earlier. "To him who strikes you on one cheek, off the other side, offer the other side also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not without your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as he wants men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit it is to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is it to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, that you do not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." The spirit, the attitude, the person that we are, and the way that we live, and the things that we do for others is going to have impact on the kind of influence we're going to have on others and those that treat us wrong as well. And I think that's something that we lose sight of sometimes. The other scripture that I look at and I think about, we're going to talk a little bit more and not make this note for our next class, and that's Luke, the 17th chapter, in verse 3 and 4. It goes a little bit more directly to the lesson. But we're going to look at that on Sunday morning, okay? So I want you to give that some thought. All right, forgiveness. I've got a great story about forgiveness that I want to talk about. And after we get finished with this tonight, then we will probably be done. But if you really think about stories of forgiveness in the Bible, and I talk about family problems, I mean, I know many of us can think about family problems that we've seen either in our own personal lives or we've seen in other people's lives too. And what better situation can we look at with regard to forgiveness than Joseph and his brothers? If you will, turn in your Bible over to Genesis, and it's Genesis, the 37th chapter. Genesis, the 37th chapter, and we'll look at some of those scriptures. Here's the problem with Joseph. Joseph, basically, his brothers hated him. And why did Joseph's brothers hate him? Well, because one of the reasons was that his dad had some favoritism toward him. His dad had favoritism toward Joseph, and it might have been because he was the youngest of the brothers. Joseph was blessed and had special abilities. Joseph dreamed about how he would basically rule over his brothers and they would bow down to him. And because of that, it says his brothers hated him because his father loved them more, or loved him more than he loved them. His dreams produced even more hatred and envy of Joseph. In Genesis, the 37th chapter, in verse 11, it says his brothers envied him, and his father kept the matter in mind. Envy is one of those character traits that we don't want to have as part of who we are. Envy is something that stands in the way of us and a right relationship with God. Are we going to be able to forgive anybody if we have envy toward that person? There's no way. There's no way. In verse 37 and 18, what did they do? They went to take care of their herd. Joseph wanted to follow and be with him because he loved his brothers, because he looked up to his brothers, because they were an example to him, because he loved them. And what did they do? They see him coming in verse 18. Now when they saw him coming afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him, to take his life. But Reuben says, no, look, we're not going to take his life. We'll stick him in this pit. He'll be okay, but we'll be on our way. I mean, and then ultimately, what did they decide to do? They decided to sell him. So in 37 and 31, it says, they took Joseph's tunic, they killed a kid of the goats and dipped the tunic in the blood to deceive and lie to their father and say, when they returned home, Joseph was killed. Joseph was killed, causing grief for his father, for their father, causing uncertainty for Joseph's future with him being sold into slavery by his brothers. But what did Joseph say? He said it was all for good. It was all because God designed all of this to be this way. And if you will, turn over in your Bibles to Genesis, the 45th chapter. I want to look at a few verses there because I think it really does show the love and compassion and forgiveness that Joseph had for his brothers. If Joseph had not had the heart of God, if Joseph had not been God's man, if Joseph had not worked to live the kind of life that God would have him to live, what would he have done? Chapter 45, after the brothers came back and returned for a second time, it says, Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from here, or go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him because they were dismayed in his presence. Can you imagine what might have been going through the minds of Joseph's brothers when he said, I'm Joseph! And he cries out. And they think about what they did to their brother. They dropped him into a pit. They sold him into slavery. And now here he was, one of the most powerful men in all the land. Because of the way they treated him, can you imagine how they thought they would probably be treated? But that wasn't the case. In verse 4, and Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but it was God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasten and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God made me the lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father all of my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen. And you shall hasten and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brothers and wept over him. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Quite a different homecoming that you might expect if it would have been one of somebody else. I mean, he didn't let anything get in the way of doing what was right in the sight of God because he was God's man. We need to ask ourselves, are we God's man? Are we God's woman? Do we live the way God wants us to live. And to close that story out, if you go on over to Genesis, the 50th chapter, in verses 19 through 21, what does it say? Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So not only did he forgive them, but he blessed them in a time of famine. He gave them a place that was a new home. He took care of them. He took them in. He showed them the love that he never knew from them. But Joseph wasn't concerned about the love that his family did or did not have for him. He was more concerned about the love that God had for him, knowing that he would use him in a way that would be to the benefit of everyone in the end. So you think about that story. You think about family problems where people can't forgive each other. You think about work problems where people can't forgive each other. You think about just relationships where people can't forgive each other. Christian, I'm telling you what, if we're on the side of the one that can't forgive, we need to repent. We need to make sure that our life is the way that it needs to be in the sight of God, because it's the only way that we can please him. And as we close class tonight, here's what I want you to think about. I need to have the same kind of forgiveness that my Savior had for me. I need to have the same kind of love and compassion for others that my Savior had for me. I need to be focused on the same goals of character development, of humility, of trying to do the very best I can to be a light in this world of darkness, as my Savior did for me. As we continue this question on Sunday morning, should we forgive someone who has sinned against us in our heart before they repent? I want you to think about what Jesus did for us, and I want us to think about how we do with forgiveness in our lives. Because, as we said earlier, if we're not willing to forgive, we cannot be forgiven. I can't do anything about someone else repenting. I can only be the example that I should be as a Christian. Hopeful, prayerful, in a loving way, that my forgiveness will help them to see where they need to be and what needs to be going on in their lives. But anyway, we're going to talk about that more on Sunday morning. Really appreciate everybody tuning in to be part of our class tonight. Hope it's been beneficial for you. We're going to have some more scriptures. We're going to look at some other examples and some other Bible examples that we have to look at, as well as close this topic out. But again, appreciate everybody being with us. We look forward to being back with a Bible class on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock right here on our live stream channel. And then it'll also, again, the auditorium class will open back up on July the 5th. But thanks for being with us tonight, and hope you have a good week. We'll look forward to seeing you again on Sunday morning.